In our current sermon series, we have been looking at some of the key themes and messages in Jesus' ministry. And today we will consider how Jesus embodied the goodness of God. Now, Jesus made the faith real for others to see. It's something that you could experience for yourself. And to help us reflect on this, we'll turn to the second chapter of the Gospel of Mark. Now, this gospel immediately begins at the front end of Jesus' ministry. There aren't any stories about his birth or his childhood. Mark wastes no time in showing us ways that Jesus put his faith into action. The first two chapters of the Gospel of Mark focus on Jesus' preaching and healing and calling disciples. Now, in our scripture passage, we find that Jesus is in the little sea village of Capernaum. And it's there that Jesus set up his home office, if you will, for his ministry. And word of his work was spreading pretty quickly. People were very interested in what Jesus was doing, and it attracted a large crowd of people. Folks wanted to see what Jesus would do and the wonders that he might do next. And one of the things that we see in Jesus' ministry is that he is willing to work with people that most Jews tried to avoid, people like tax collectors. Now, we'll read about one such tax collector in a moment. It's the story of Jesus calling Levi to follow him. And this story invites us to consider how our faith in Jesus might move us to live out the goodness of God. So let's open to our scripture passage. If you have your Bibles with you, I invite you to open to Mark chapter 2. I'll be reading verses 13 through 17. The words will also be on the screen for you to follow along. But let's listen now to these words of scripture. Jesus went out again beside the sea. The whole crowd gathered around him, and he taught them. As he was walking along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax booth. And he said to him, "Follow me." And he got up and followed him. And as he sat at dinner in Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were also sitting with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. When the scribes of the Pharisees saw that he was eating with sinners and tax collectors, they said to his disciples, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" When Jesus heard this, he said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have come to call not the righteous, but sinners." Oh God, may the words of my mouth in the meditations of our heart be pleasing to you. Amen. I want you to pretend for a moment that you are in first century Israel. You've been traveling around the Sea of Galilee, and then one day you happen to stop in the village of Capernaum, and you stop there when Jesus is in town. Now, imagine for a moment again that you don't know anything about Jesus. But you notice that this man named Jesus has attracted a huge crowd of people. In fact, there's so many people that they can't get into the building where Jesus is. And you quickly learn the reason why. He had just healed a paralytic. Now, people were coming out of the woodwork to see this for themselves. And frankly, they wanted to see what Jesus would do next. And this has piqued your curiosity. So you join the crowd because you want to see what Jesus will do next. And when Jesus leaves that building and starts walking through Capernaum, you and the rest of the crowd follow him. And eventually he stops at a big field by the sea where there's plenty of room for everyone to sit and relax and hang out with each other. On the screen is a picture of where that field probably was. That is in Galilee, near Capernaum, along the coast of the Sea of Galilee. And it's there in that big field where you notice Jesus starting to talk to one of the tax collectors, and his name is Levi. Now, Levi, his reputation is well known, is that of a pretty rotten guy. He charges people more for their taxes than what they really owe. And so no one trusts him. No one really likes him. But for some reason, Jesus takes an interest in him and even invites him to follow him and be part of his group of friends. And Levi accepts that invitation. Now, this doesn't make a whole lot of sense to you, but you spot a woman on the edge of the crowd and you ask her what's going on. You want to hear her take on things. Now, this woman's a really polite person, so she first introduces herself to you, and she tells you that her name is Mary, and she's from a neighboring village called Magdala. It's not far from Capernaum. Mary then explains that Jesus is from Nazareth. He didn't have any credentials. He didn't come from money. He didn't have a big role in the government, and he doesn't lead an army. All he does is travel from village to village with his friends, and all along the way, he teaches the deepest truths that people have ever heard. Now, Mary also points out to you that Jesus' friends, the people who are following him around Galilee, are quite a mix of people. Most of them are poor. Many of them are unemployed. Some of them are disabled, and there are women in the group too. And Mary tells you that most of them can't afford an education. But that doesn't mean they're stupid. In fact, they're all hungry and thirsty to learn as much as they can, and it seems like Jesus is teaching them wherever he goes. He's constantly revealing new insights about God. And that leads you to ask Mary if she thinks Jesus is trying to start a new religion. Now, she thinks about your question for a minute, and then she tells you that Jesus is doing something much bigger and much more dangerous than that. She tells you that Jesus is announcing a new kingdom. Now, you want to know if that means if Jesus is trying to overthrow the government. But Mary tells you that the kingdom that Jesus is talking about is not like the kingdoms of this world that are driven by things like power, control, and money. Jesus doesn't force anyone to follow him. Instead, he heals the sick, he teaches the uneducated, and he inspires the downtrodden with hope. Now, the kingdom that Jesus talks about isn't one that's located in a specific area, in one region, or one particular land. Mary says that Jesus has taught that his kingdom, his followers, that is, the ones who are pursuing this kingdom, are ones who are seeking this kingdom not just in a particular world, but in a way of life. And that Jesus tells them that this kingdom actually exists in them and among them. This kingdom doesn't try to conquer like an army does, but it grows slowly and quietly, like yeast, like dough, yeast and dough, and like seed in the soil. Faith waters that seed and makes it grow. Faith makes the kingdom real. Now, Mary explains that she's heard Jesus talk about making faith real, making faith in God real, that people should live in a way that makes God's goodness visible. And that's best seen when people act with love toward their brothers and sisters, their neighbors, and even their enemies. And Mary points out that this is what's happening with Levi. Now, your average Jew would have looked at Levi as a lost cause. They would have despised him because of his work. People called him a liar and a thief. They even saw him as a traitor because he worked for the Roman government. People didn't see any goodness and people like Levi and tax collectors. And yet none of this mattered to Jesus. It didn't matter to him that Levi had a shameful reputation. And Jesus certainly didn't see Levi as a lost cause. It's quite the contrary. He invited Levi to follow him. That means he wanted Levi to be one of his friends, to be a disciple. He knew that Levi could change. He knew that Levi could make God's goodness visible in his own life. Now, Mary goes on to explain to you that what the two of you are witnessing is that very kind of change. And you both have already noticed some changes in Levi's life. Now, tax collectors like him were known for their greed. But now you see a person acting with generosity. He invites Jesus and his disciples, as well as some other tax collectors and even some other sinners, to come to his house for dinner. Now, this is a motley crew. Some people might call them a bunch of scumbags, but that didn't stop Levi. See, because of Jesus, he's learning to open his heart and his home to the people that the world might ignore, hate, or even despise. And he shares the gift of hospitality with all of them. Levi was trying to make his faith visible. And he does that by welcoming this strange group of people into his home. Mary says that Jesus' presence at Levi's house shows you that God's grace and mercy are offered to all people. It's a sign that God loves everyone, regardless of who they are. And it doesn't matter what they've done or what kind of reputation they may have. God doesn't exclude anyone because God is working to change and transform the whole world. Now, it becomes apparent to you that the people at Levi's house are living that reality. And you reach that conclusion because of the joyful sounds that you hear coming out of that house. Now, all those people who are eating around Levi's table with Jesus are tasting God's goodness because of Jesus. Now, Mary's interpretation of the events that you've witnessed isn't shared by everyone. Some scribes and Pharisees were hanging in the crowd, and they'd been watching what Jesus was doing. And when they saw Jesus eating at Levi's house, they weren't pleased. They didn't like what they saw. They thought they knew what it meant to make faith real. After all, they were the most religious people imaginable. They knew the Bible like the back of their hands. They strictly followed every religious rule and regulation. And to them, that's what mattered. Watching Jesus share the dinner table with a bunch of sinners and scumbags didn't make much sense to them. They wondered why Jesus would defile himself in this way. And then you hear one of the scribes and Pharisees pose a question to Jesus' disciples. They say, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" Well, Jesus overheard that question, and he responded directly to them. He said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have come to call not the righteous, but sinners." Now, the events that you have witnessed in Capernaum are helping you understand that Jesus lives in the way he does as a way of making God's goodness available to all people. God's grace and mercy are for everyone. Now, Jesus invited Levi to follow him so that he could begin to experience these gifts in his own life. Jesus invited him to begin the journey of discipleship so that he could learn how to live in such a way that makes God's goodness real to others. Now, you're amazed by everything that you've witnessed. And you even find it interesting that Jesus never insisted that Levi repent or get right before beginning the journey of discipleship. The only thing that seems to be required is trust. Now, Levi left his work as a tax collector and started following because he trusted Jesus. And so that's when you turn to Mary and start talking about where you see people putting their trust. Now, you know some people that place their trust in the idea that just a little bit more war will end all wars. And you know some other people that trust if they have just a little bit more money in their pocket, that will somehow cure their greed and they won't want any more. And you know other folks who trust that stoking the fires of division think that that's the only way to bring about the change we need. And so you then ask Mary where she places her trust. You want to know if she trusts Jesus. Does she believe him? And that's a question we all must answer. Do we believe Jesus? Do we trust that he will lead us in the right direction? You know, trusting Jesus is closely linked to following him. Because if we truly trust Jesus, we will follow where he leads. We'll imitate him. We'll learn from his example. We'll live by his way. If we truly trust Jesus, we'll strive to make the faith real by sharing God's goodness with others. You know, trusting Jesus by following him is not something that can be treated lightly because it's costly. It requires us to rethink everything, and it leads us to change the course of our lives, just like Levi. Now, when we believe Jesus, when we give him our trust, our hearts change. The way we think changes. The way we act changes. And all of this happens because we're searching for ways to make our faith real. Jesus continues to invite people to follow him. That's the invitation of discipleship. It's an invitation to live in ways that help others taste and see the goodness of God. It's an invitation to share love, forgiveness, hospitality, generosity, and peace. You know, if we believe in Jesus, we'll make these things real. So where does that leave you? Do you believe in Jesus? Do you trust him? Now, this is not about believing that Jesus existed in the first century. And it's not about believing certain doctrines about Jesus. This is about relationship. It's about commitment. So will you make a commitment to a life of discipleship? Will you dare to step out and follow Jesus? Will you make your faith real? Will you find ways to share with others love, forgiveness, hospitality, generosity, and peace, especially to those who are ignored, hated, and despised by the world? If we believe in Jesus, if we really trust him, then we will make these things real. We'll make them visible for others to see. Would you pray with me? Oh God, we are grateful that you sent Jesus into the world to show us who you are and to show us how to live and treat our fellow human beings. In Jesus, we see how to make our faith in you real and visible. And we're learning, Lord, that this is at the heart of discipleship. And so we pray today that we would have the kind of commitment needed to do this and that we would trust that Jesus is leading us in the right direction. We pray this in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our band's going to lead us in another song in just a moment. This is a time, of course, to make some decisions about what God is leading you to do. I'll be in the back of the room to talk with any who would like to share how God is leading you. I'll be happy to pray with you and talk through with whatever you're thinking. But let's stand now and we'll sing our closing song.